It's time for our weekly conversation surrounding the subdivision with FCS Nation host Kevin Marshall. Kevin, last weekend in the Valley, spooky things happened is probably the easiest way to put it. You had South Dakota hosting North Dakota. For whatever reason, those schools don't play well at each other's places, and the Coyotes get a win. And then the Jackrabbits, another week with a backup quarterback, are upset by Indiana State and Brookings. Those two games specifically have lit the Valley on fire, and it's an absolute free-for-all right now with us locally. Where are you at, or how do you analyze those two ball games?
Well, I wish I wouldn't have moved North Dakota up to number three and made a hubbub about it, you know, because they just laid an egg the next week. But South Dakota played well. The defense shone for them. And, you know, have an 80-yard scoop and score for a touchdown. Those are game-changing plays. And in that ball game, South Dakota made the big plays when they were there. And North Dakota just didn't. I think they found out, the Fighting Hawks did, that they just can't roll out their jerseys and beat anybody. They've got to play hard and play smart and execute each week to have a chance to win. Winning is not easy, as we found out last week.
When we just take a glance at records play a factor with some of the different vote getters, or when you're looking at the playoff picture. But within the Valley, you have from Southern Illinois, Illinois State, South Dakota State, South Dakota, North Dakota, North Dakota State. All six of those squads are 6-4 or better here at this point. These last couple of weeks, is the Valley going to cannibalize itself into maybe a 3 or 4 bid league? Do you see more than, I'll say, 4 teams possibly out of the Valley in the playoff in a month from now? Or is that where are you kind of sitting as we enter this last 3-4 weeks of the year?
It's really a very good question, and one that's difficult to answer, because we don't know what's going to happen with the Ivy. We don't know what's going to happen with the CAA and the way that they schedule. So you're going to have some teams from the really good leagues at FCS maybe who are going to sit there and go, but this team didn't play anybody all season. And they did. And they maybe even beat a couple of those somebodies who might find themselves left out, which is just unfortunate. But, you know, what happened in that Indiana State, South Dakota State game just can't happen. I mean, nobody saw that coming. We all thought that South Dakota State, even with the backup quarterback, would have enough to take care of Indiana State. And it was a weird game. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, South Dakota State cannot afford a whole bunch more hiccups. They need to get their stuff in a pile, and they need to do it with a quickness. But with the Valley, I mean, yes, in some cases, that's exactly what's going to happen. The Valley is going to SOCON themselves to some extent here. It's coming. And look, the team like South Dakota was dead in the water this time last week, and now their playoff life is rejuvenated. Now, it's going to be a tough road those last two games, that's for sure. But, you know, they're playing meaningful football in the month of November, which the middle of October, I don't think anybody foresaw that coming.
I need to ask you, because I know somebody on FCS Nation last week may or may not have made this their upset special of the week, but Abilene Christian taking down Tarleton State. Abilene is a squad that, I think you've said it best, though, from week to week, they look like they could be in the top 10. They look like they could be one of the 10 worst teams in the country. This ball game was 28-10 in the fourth quarter before Tarleton made a push late, but Abilene pulls off the upset, improving to 5-4 with a 31-28 win. The Texans, their first loss of the season. What happened here, and how does this, if at all, change the playoff picture, maybe for somebody who's fighting for an at-large bid?
Well, I mean, first of all, I just want to say to everybody who listened, you're welcome. Plus 455 on the money line, and I called it. So I don't think anybody had Abilene Christian beating Tarleton State but us. And, you know, that's why you listen to FCS Nation. If you like money, occasionally we'll call something like that when nobody else does. So, but Abilene Christian, just like I said, man, when the good has been displayed, it's been very good. But when the bad has been displayed, it's been all bad. It's been all bad when it's been bad, y'all. So that's a really Jekyll and Hyde team, and you just have to wonder which one's going to show up. Now we'll find out if they can stand a little prosperity. Earlier in the season, they couldn't. They'd win a big game, and then they drop the next one to a team that they should beat. But yes, that would be with four ranked wins, including a top, wherever you want to put Tarleton State when it took place, top five, top 10. That's an impressive resume, and it's going to be something that others are not going to have who are maybe fighting for the same spot.
With you guys, how have you been trying to analyze? Let's just say your top 10 over the last couple of weeks. So, of course, you had from a week ago NDSU, Montana, you know, the basically the Montanas and the Dakotas in the top 10. But where does Tarleton State fit in at that point? And does Abilene Christian, do they sneak back into the top 25 with a win like that? Or is it still, are they too up and down to be back in there?
I dropped Tarleton State to 11, and nobody else really penalized them for that loss at all, or if they did, not much. I just think that if you're Tarleton State and, you know, your knock on you that everybody says is, well, look who they play. And they were doing the things that a team that's not in the Valley or the Big Sky needs to do if you want to be highly ranked, and that is go through your conference like Sherman went through Georgia and absolutely destroy the inferior opponents that are on your schedule. Now, Abilene Christian has a right to say, well, you know, we're not one of those, and they prove that they're not. So I dropped Tarleton to 11, and look, there's a lot of things that are going to happen with the teams that are in front of them in the next 2-3 weeks that are going to maybe have them move back up if they can start winning ball games again. But we put Abilene Christian in at number 21. Some people have them higher, but they needed to come back into the top 25 after that very impressive win over Tarleton State.
Kevin, when we switch back over to Missouri Valley for a second, just because last weekend threw that conference into chaos with weird things happening in Vermillion and then Brookings not knowing how to play anymore without their starting quarterback, you got some teams that are all looking to try and make the playoffs. You mean you got Youngstown State a little bit farther on the outside. You still got Southern Illinois, Illinois State, the other Dakota schools. My simple question to you is, who's the second best team in this conference right now? I mean, is it still North Dakota? Would North Dakota solidify themselves at number two if they can pull an upset this weekend? Or would it be South Dakota State if they can rebound against the Coyotes down in Vermillion? I mean, who is like the second best team in the Valley?
Ask me next week and I'll know the answer for sure.
Yeah.
You know, but it's difficult, man. I mean, I had thought that North Dakota had maybe crossed a threshold as a football program that maybe they just haven't gotten to yet. And that is consistently playing good football week in, week out, like other members of the Missouri Valley Football Conference have done. And they're not quite there yet. Now, we'll see what happens to them. Can they get off the deck this week? I like to think that they will. You know, that's a tough test. We don't have to sugarcoat that at all, right? But, you're trying to put your season back together again and feel better about yourself, and you have to go play that bunch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's not a recipe for a great meal right there. But the two Montana schools are sitting there at number two and number three.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's going to sort of sort itself out here. They have a little game they have, you know, called the Brawl of the Wild that will sort that out. But I'm interested in seeing how this committee is going to rank the teams that are undefeated and have been blowing people out and, you know, beating people to sleep like Lehigh and Tennessee Tech and Monmouth has done to a certain extent when Derek Robertson is healthy. How do you treat them? And does a team like North Dakota, who just lost a ball game, South Dakota State, who just lost a ball game, how are they treated in comparison to the Monmouth, Tennessee Tech, Harvard, Lehigh's? And now you're starting to see Mercer climb back up people's rankings. That one bad loss to Presbyterian, which proved to not be as bad of a loss as it seemed at the time, made a quarterback change, and Mercer has been a different football team since Atkinson, the true freshman, has taken the reins down there in Macon, Georgia.
When we look, and you mentioned that the Ivy League schools, you know, they're part of the playoffs this year. You've got an undefeated Harvard team this year, 7-0 overall, 4-0 in conference play. You got Penn and Yale and Dartmouth all at 5-2 overall. We haven't seen it. I've been anxious to see these teams, you know, be a part of the playoffs. Do you see the Ivy League champ, you know, maybe getting a top eight seed? If it's Harvard and they run the table and go undefeated, can they make a run to a national semifinal? Or is this just something more, I don't know what if you would call it, just cosmetic that the Ivy League is a part of the FCS playoffs finally?
It ain't cosmetic. Harvard's a good football team. Their quarterback, Craig, can spin it. And they have some athletes at the skill position. And you just have to wonder sometimes with teams like that, when they're matching up against teams from the Midwest or the Montanas, how can they hold up front? And we won't know that until we see it. But this year, guess what? We're probably going to end up seeing that. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's intrigued a lot of people for a long time, is are these football teams that can be competitive with the top FCS teams in the country in a road environment, which is probably what that's going to end up being if they can get that far. And instead of it being conjecture, we're going to know for sure. And I'm excited for that. I haven't thought a lot of Ivy League football, and mostly because in this subdivision, you have to prove it. That's what we do here, is we have a playoff system. You think you're one of the best teams in the country, get in the tournament and prove it. And they haven't done that yet, but we're going to see it very soon. And I, for one, am extremely excited to actually finally know and not just wonder.
Last question from me, Kevin. Obviously, you're out there most times. You're obviously in South Carolina still enjoying some time back in your home part of the country. But Big Sky Conference standings, I look at it. I see Montana and Montana State both undefeated in a conference play. You got UC Davis, you know, Sacramento State still kind of hanging around there. How many bids do you think the Big Sky get? And is this just kind of the Montana State victor is going to be kind of that number two team heading into the playoffs? Where do you kind of rank the Big Sky Conference and those top teams out there?
Well, it's an interesting question because Montana State are, I think, obviously the two best teams there. We expected more out of some other people. UC Davis got beat, we didn't kind of expect them to be as good as some other people have earlier in the year, but they put some wins together. It was an impressive streak. I think you're probably looking at 3 to 4 bids for the Big Sky. And, we're just going to have to see. I mean, we'll know a lot more once the committee rankings come out to see what they're thinking. You can glean a lot from those. Those are important. Just so you can say, well, all right, if they're thinking about doing this and they've done it, then you can kind of put that equation together and see, well, then they'll probably do this here. So I'm very interested to see those. I think the Big Sky is probably a 3 or 4 bid league. We'll have to see. It's a good football conference this year. There's some parity in it. Mm-hmm. You have Idaho, who was injury ravaged in the middle of the season. They're starting to play better football. And they might have a say about who's going to be that 3 or 4 team. It's not going to be them, but Idaho can beat some people in the last month of the season here and keep people from going to the playoffs.
You and Jay said talked a little bit about, now I'm jumping back Northeastern, but Ivy League, I'm very curious because, like you had mentioned, they've been almost a bit of an afterthought, you know, in recent memory. Not a part of the playoff. They do their own thing. They think that they have their own playground. They were just kind of, it was an exclusive members club playing those Ivy League squads. It's still at that in the regular season, basically, but how did you guys come out with putting them at the number 7 ranked team in the country this week? I understand they're 7-0 and they're kicking the living crap out of the rest of the Ivy League, but how do you compare them and how are you even able to compare them to the rest of the country, knowing that there's really nobody in the league that's playing anybody that you're able to have that cross-referencing of? Basically, it's just seeing who they play within that conference only.
Well, I'd like to think that I know what I'm seeing when I watch it after, 45 seasons of FCS football in my memory bank. I think I know what a good team looks like when I see it, regardless of who they're playing. Others may disagree with me on that. You know, maybe I'm being arrogant in that view, which, people who know me might say I am kind of arrogant at times. But I think I know what I see, and Harvard's a good football team. And if they continue undefeated and you have to play them in the playoffs, whoever their opponent is going to find out they're a pretty good football team too.
As we're getting closer to end of our conversation today, North Dakota, North Dakota State play each other. South Dakota, South Dakota State this weekend. First up, in Vermilion with the Yotes and Jackrabbits, regardless of the quarterback situation with South Dakota State. At this point, is South Dakota a spoiler only? Can they play themselves into the playoff? And at that same rate, can the Jacks, with a loss this weekend, start to play themselves out of an at-large bid, possibly in the postseason?
Yes to both questions. If the Yotes went out, they're in. There's no doubt it. There's no doubt about it. And if the Jacks don't win more ball games, they'll find themselves on the outside looking in, which is crazy to think about, right? But how did we wind up here, y'all? we had such the picture of what was going to happen, and then it just didn't. Like, somebody just threw a grenade into the Missouri Valley Football Conference, and it's interesting to watch because that conference has usually been pretty perfectly ordered here the last couple of years. You kind of knew what was going to happen, right? And even when the Jackrabbits would beat the Bison in the regular season, you kind of knew that that game was probably going to take place again and who was going to win it, right? So I can't say that I don't appreciate the irony of it all, that this is a league that we're talking about and not knowing a whole bunch this late into the season when we usually kind of have it pegged what's going to happen in that league by now.
Additionally, the only team to this point in the Valley that has not had a hiccup is North Dakota State. Coach Polisek's Bison. This game, though, is going to the Alera Center. It's in Grand Forks. I don't care it's November. It's a spooky place to play. The Bison 1-3 in the Alera Center since North Dakota came to the Valley. You know Eric Schmidt's squad is going to be trying to get the rebound and maybe almost might put too much pressure on themselves. How do you see the Hawks and Bison playing out this weekend? Is this a ball game that the Bison got to be on alert? Are they a different ball club? And can Coach Schmidt get his guys back in order after that letdown in Vermilion a week ago?
I think this is going to be a whale of a game. I think North Dakota is going to do everything that they can. And I mean, every play in the playbook, it's completely wide open. They are going to throw everything they can at North Dakota State because this is the biggest game in North Dakota football history in a long time. And the Fighting Hawks have NDSU in their place, and they didn't play well last week, and they want to just flush that down the toilet, put some new stuff on film of going up and down the field and pushing NDSU to the brink and getting a victory. NDSU is just another week at the office, man. I mean, that's a machine. I mean, those guys just line up before the game and they punch in a time card, and that time card, it just says, hey, it's time to whip whoever's butt is in front of us, and that's what they've been doing. I mean, it's been very easy to pick their games with the final scores. I just give them 38 points because it seems like that's what they score every week since week one, right? So I would have to say, you know, with my expert analysis here, I think that UND is going to have to score 39 to beat NDSU on Saturday.
Awesome. And last thing in closing, FCS Nation, we got on our airwaves Saturday mornings, 8 a.m., right before a great weekend of college football within the subdivision. What should we be expecting on this week's episode?
Dude, this show is going to be nothing but a look back at a wonderful victory in the Military Classic of the South for the Citadel. That's all we're going to talk about for 48 minutes of showtime. I'm going to try not to smile still. I've been wearing one since what happened in Jonathan Haygood Stadium happened last Saturday. I've seen a lot of games there. I've never seen anything like that before, and it was very pleasing to my eyes. But we're going to do what we always do. We'll preview the biggest games taking place around the country. We'll pick them. We'll give you an update on Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation. We're over $45,000 raised for the season. And look, we're just pleased to be a part of that. And please log on to our website, FCSNationRadio.com. to find out how you can also be an honorary captain and help us in pediatric cancer in our time.
Tremendous. Well, Kev, thank you for a few minutes of your time. We're looking forward to another great weekend of subdivision football, and we'll catch up again next week to talk about other games that maybe went sideways that we weren't anticipating up until, of course, they happened this weekend.
Always nice to be on with y'all. Jace, don't give up on your goats. They're still got a shot.